Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Cookie Cast. Today on Cookie Cast, it's a big one. It's a bumper. It's the darkest timeline, and it's just long. Long one. Getting deep in this one as well. Talking about being tired, not upholding tradition, being tired. Did I mention that one already? Activities, children-based activities. Talking TV, a little bit of movies, but not new movies, and a lot of computer game stuff. So stay tuned for that. Before we get started, please do consider like, share, subscribe, and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review, and the big one is share the podcast around. Right, let's get started because there's a lot to go through. Here we go. This is Cookie Cast. The Darkest Timeline. Hey, how you doing? Thought I'd go upbeat this week. Something I've been noticing recently. See that? Just straight into it. Something I've been noticing recently. Oh, you slag. Annoying. Is podcasts that I've been doing recently. These podcasts, not just all podcasts. I've started having like a theme running through them. And this one is no different. See if you can spot the theme this week. I mean, I'll probably just hammer it home throughout, but you know. I don't want to do things. I should probably elaborate on that, really. There is so much stuff that I would rather do. I keep having this conversation with people, and I just keep saying, like, at any given moment, you know the things that you have to do. Yeah, I'd rather not do those, and instead I'd rather do the things that I want to do. And this is part of the thing. Yeah, I understand how what I'm saying sounds. But let's get to what I mean. There is so little time. There's so little time to do anything. And ultimately, I am a man who is commenting from a perspective of having four children, having a need, want, take your pick. To podcast, to work out, to climb, to run. I want to play computer games. I want to read books. I want to watch TV. I want to watch movies. I want to, you know, do all the fun things in life. Things like making a plan for a child, making a plan for a child, you know, spend time with one or multiple children. And you've got a plan in your head. And your plan has a starting point, it has an end point, and you're going to fit that in. And then you get to the end of the day and you go, never did sit down to do a drawing with my daughter. Something in some ways so small, so simple, so easy to fit in. Didn't get done though, did it? So when I say I don't want to do things, it's a combination of things. It's like, I don't want to do this, I want to do that. I don't want to do this, I want to do that. But it's constant. And I don't want to be, you know, typical, cliche, whatever, and be like, I don't want to have to go to work and spend 8 hours of my day. It's one of those things that I imagine if I had access to those 8 hours, I'd still feel like this. And there's an element that I feel very fortunate to be in a position where I'm like, I've got all these things that I'd like to be doing with my time. There's this thing of, I envy people who have the opportunity to be bored. I cast my mind back to being a child and daring to say, I'm bored. There's nothing to do. I'm bored. You know, I'm sure every child at some point in the midst of the summer holidays will have said at some point, I'm bored. There's nothing to do. To look back at that time now and be like, I could go through like and break down a day. You know, I'd thought when I was planning out the podcast for this evening, I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll break down the average day. It would take me hours. And look at me, look how much I've got going on. It's not that. It's, I could break down the average day, but to fit everything in, it'd be like a podcast series on Monday. Man, I flipping hate Mondays. I hate Mondays so much, and not for the reason you'd think, but also the reason you'd think. There's been, I feel a bit weird about this one, because ultimately I wasn't sure if I was going to attempt to deal with this situation before the podcast, and I have to a degree. Yet it's on my list, and I still feel valid in speaking about it, quite frankly. Last week, it was Pancake Day on the Tuesday. And then Valentine's Day on the Wednesday. Now, I've given up the concept of cards. I don't know if I've mentioned this already. I've given up the concept of cards. I think cards are a complete waste. A card essentially has one job, as far as I can see at this point in time, and that job is a receptacle to hold money. You want to give somebody a gift, that gift is money, stick it in a card. Stick that card in an envelope, bing, bang, bong, you've got yourself a money-holding receptacle. Outside of that, I'm done with cards. I am, however, not done with pancakes. So, Tuesday rolls round. Now, I'm going to hold my hands up on this one. I did not in any way, shape or form acknowledge that it was Pancake Day on Tuesday through the whole day, other than it was the one day I worked last week, and because of that I went in the office, and somebody in the office said pancake day today, and then proceeded to have a conversation, and it's the same conversation that everybody has, which is, what do you put on your pancakes? The person in question then went on to talk at length about how they don't like pancakes and ultimately would have small pancakes with not a lot of filling. And I was like, your opinion is no longer valid. So that was that. So buried deep in the mind is pancake day. I then went about my merry way. Gets to the evening, and at some point, way past tea, I said, isn't it pancake day today? And from the other room, I heard, yeah, it is. Like, okay, so where's the pancakes then? There aren't any. Like, well, this is absolutely disgraceful, quite frankly. And there was this long explanation about how my youngest daughter doesn't like pancakes. So, you know, dead to me. And there was more explanation than that. And I'm like, well, quite frankly, I know one man that loves pancakes. I consider eating pancakes to be an activity you can do in a kind of replicating how snakes eat. You roll your pancake up with your honey and lemon. Wait, no, that's not it. Lemon and sugar. You roll up. You put the end in your mouth, and then you basically just tip your head back and just let the whole thing just slide in. Minimal chewing, maximum enjoyment. But I was I don't want to use the word devastated or mortified. I don't want to use those words, but that's how I felt. I was like, This is unacceptable. But you know, you let it go. You let it slide. Reasons. Valentine's Day, Wednesday. As I've already mentioned, absolutely going to be no sort of card situation going on, which honestly was a dice roll, because although I don't believe in cards as a concept anymore, the last situation I want to be in is if I am presented with a card and I have no card. So I was like, risky, but I think we're good. I think we can roll the dice on this one. I had had nothing short of an absolute nightmare with a gift. I spent conservatively 3 weeks narrowing down a gift, and it went like this. I'm going to buy a jumper, and if you do a search for the type of jumper that I'm going to buy, there's about 4 million of them. In every possible conceivable shape and style, with multiple different phrases, slogans, pictures, whatever. So I then went through the task of narrowing down the various combinations. Got it down to 30. Possible choices. And over the next couple of weeks, went about systematically whittling the candidates down. And I think we can all agree, in a situation where you've got 30, some are going to fall off fairly quickly. So that's what happened. You know, a few went straight off the bat. As we were getting down into like the 15 kind of area, with a week to go before the cutoff I'd set myself. That's when it really started getting into like a, you know, making a pros and cons kind of column. So, whittle it down. I get a few days out from deadline day, and I'm like, okay, I'm now down to two. One of the jumpers was similar to a jumper I purchased at Christmas. And I said, unfortunately, I feel that you are too similar to a previous purchase, and you are now eliminated. Ultimately, leaving me with the winner. I ordered said winner, and it turned up. And I said, okay, I've ordered this with plenty of time, plenty of notice, plenty of whatever. And I knew what I was getting. I don't need to open this parcel. So a couple of days passed, and I went, oh, that's potentially not the right move. That's potentially a really bad idea. Because what if it's the order's wrong? What if it's the wrong size, the wrong shape, the wrong colour? We all know what it's like in this day and age. You order something and it's just wrong. I was like, I'm just going to open it and I'm going to have a quick look. And then I know, and it can all go back in the bag, etc. I opened it, and I imagine they probably heard me down the street when I was cursing, effing and jeffing, and calling myself all the names under the sun, because apparently I didn't think to zoom in on the picture to find that the picture was the wrong type. And I'm like, you absolute idiot, Stimpy. So immediately contact the Amazon, and I said, hey, I've made a boob and I've ordered the absolute wrong thing. And they said, you can have a non-return refund. And I'm like, what's a non-return refund? I don't need this item, it's wrong. I need it out of my house. It is the wrong thing. And they were like, we'll refund the money to your account. You don't need to return the item. I was like, I mean, part of me thinks that's bad business, but I don't need this item. I need to get it out of my house. I need to get it back to you. I need to get the money back so I can then order a different item, a replacement. Turned out this was not an option. So I was like, right, sod it. Give me the money back. I'll reorder and I'll just go from there. And that's what I did. What was ultimately runner-up got ordered. Turned up a couple of days later. One of the first things I did was then open it to make sure it was right, which it was. I start dropping some hints. I was like, oh, it's been a little bit of a problem with a potential gift that you may or may not be getting at some point in the future. As it is, there's been an issue which has now been resolved and a replacement has been purchased. However, I don't need the item because it's wrong. I don't need it. They don't want it. So you can just have this item. Here you go. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. All right, no problem. There you go. So I'm laying a lot of groundwork at this point. I'm like, hey, you know, I've done a lot of work here. Yes, it went wrong. I feel it was an innocent mistake. And one that ultimately I have not only corrected, but I've corrected in plenty of time. I also had like a series of other items that were on the docket to get. As time is getting closer, time is getting, you know, to the day, I panic. I'm like, hey, you know, it's a point in time, it's an opportunity to show another person how you feel. And, you know, ultimately, there's been a bit of an error, been a problem, and that's like a black mark against me. And I sorted it out, but I've dropped the ball here. So the only way to correct this is to go above and beyond, which, yeah, I kind of felt maybe I'd already done that, but I wanted to knock it out of the park. So I was like, hey, if there was a situation where you needed a gift, anytime in the near future, you know, what might that be? I was then informed that as it was moving out of jumper season, a jumper would definitely not be required. So I'm like, oh, goody. Also, obviously, there'd been the, you know, I'd already given a jumper. It was maybe, you know, it was the wrong jumper, but I'd already given a jumper. So maybe a t-shirt would be a better idea. I'm like, well, you know, it's one of those. I don't have issues purchasing a t-shirt as well. Just, you know, just double bubble. I'm going to get box chocolates, bunch of flowers. There was talk about a meal. You know, I normally do steak normally, but I don't want steak. Pork belly. It's like, okay, I can do that. I can do it. I can do that. There was this whole thing about podcasting. I had podcasting booked in for the actual day, and I was like, you know, I know that's not ideal, but we can just do everything on the Thursday and it'll be fine. So that was that. I ordered a t-shirt. So then I'm like, hey, I've got this jumper, I've got this t-shirt, I'm gonna get some chocolates, flowers, and all that sort of stuff. I'm winning here. I'm dominating this whole Valentine's Day thing. Now then, t-shirt was due to turn up on the day. That's not an issue, not a problem, because I've already got a gift. And I wasn't going to be at work, so I was like, I can go and get the rest of the stuff during the day. Job done. Problem solved. So, I go on the morning. I was like, hey, your gift's going to turn up later today, but I've already got you a gift. It's here. Would you like it? Oh, yeah. Cool. I was like, here you go. Here's the gift. All right, yeah, cool. Nice one. I was like, okay. Later in the day, gone to some shops, bought box chocolates, got back, like, box chocolates. Got one of the children to give the box chocolates. Oh, right, yeah, you bought me chocolate when I'm not eating chocolate. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Sorry about that. That's my bad. That's on me. Sorry. And then in the afternoon, the T-shirt turned up. So I was like, yeah, here you go. Got you this. I'm like, all right, yeah, cool, nice one. I personally felt above and beyond. Some aspects left to be desired, absolutely. Meal never happened, never materialized. But apparently, Pancake Day isn't the only thing that we're not bothering with in this house. Because apparently, it's very, very much a one-way street. So, yeah. Moral of the story, don't bother. For anything. I have been completely exhausted. But that's a statement that also requires some sort of clarification. I've been really struggling with certain activities. So the activity that's at the top of the list at the moment, not entirely sure why. Running. I just do not have the energy, stamina, breath for running. Recently I've had this thing where like I'll set out for a run and I'll get like down the road and be like, I am exhausted. It's like starting with like a full tank, getting down the road and being empty. And knowing that it's like, right, I've got another 2 miles to go and I've got nothing in the tank. Not just outside runs. I reached a point at one point in time where I was on my treadmill runs. We're getting a little bit, I don't want to say easy, I don't want to be, you know, that guy, but that's kind of how it felt. It was a bit like, yeah, you know, just bump it up a bit, you know, run a little bit faster, a little bit quicker. Any run I do at the moment, just nothing. That tank is empty. There's been some experiences with other working out aspects. I had this thing, I want to say Friday last week. I had a really short space of time to fit X number of things in. And I was completely gassed. Or maybe it was Thursday. I don't know. But there is this level of exhaustion. Like I have not. I understand. Like sometimes I get to a Friday, and Friday's a weird day. Like in term time, Friday's a weird day for me, because ultimately I've got X amount of time over the course of the whole day to get X amount of stuff done. Whilst also either having to go and collect 3 of my 4 children or 1 of my 4 children at a particular time. And then being like, right, you know, I've got to have done this by this point, this by this point, you know, this, you know, lunchtime this, and all the various things that I need to get done during the day. And in, you know, into the evening and stuff, depending which week it is. And obviously Friday is almost the furthest away from a rest day. Saturday is the furthest away, or the closest, I suppose, from a rest day. But Saturdays are, I think what you find is you get that little boost of energy just before a rest. It's like, you know, you're going to rest, so you kind of give it a bit more. So Saturday, also Saturday for me is a weird day because by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm done for the day. I've run, I've walked the dog, I've climbed, I've worked out. All I've got left to do for the day is walk the dog in the evening, and I'm done. And usually, like, I'll look at my watch and I'll be like 89% to the, you know, to fill in the day, sort of thing. So it's Saturday, although it's, like I say, it's the last sort of exertion day of the week, sometimes it feels like an easy one. Whereas Friday, I often find, like, my workout on a Friday, I'll just have nothing in the tank. So I know what that feels like, where you're absolutely at max capacity and you're still trying to do stuff, like you're trying to lift stuff. I know what that's like, and I know that level of exhaustion. But what I'm finding is I'm feeling that level of exhaustion a lot of the time. Obviously, in those situations, you start to wonder if something's wrong, you know? Like, oh, is there something that's causing an additional issue? Then I've looked at, like, the last couple of weeks, and it's been a particularly stressful, particularly busy. You know, you have that thing of after school holidays, you go back to work for a rest. So there's that kind of aspect as well. But yeah, I went out for a run this morning and was just like, oh my word, why is it so hard? But I've had a bit of a thing in the last week. I tried to explain to my eldest without being able to explain too much of it, which didn't go overly well. Me and my elders have been watching the Marvel movies, and as I'll go on to talk about, we finally finished the Infinity Saga. It's kind of a bittersweet thing. It's that a culmination of 10 years worth of movies, which we've done in the space of, it's probably a year. So, you know, I was trying to get across to her that, you know, I did those movies in sort of 10 years. Those movies for me span 10 years of my life, which is, you know, ultimately nearly her entire life. Thinking about when I started watching those films. I started watching those films before she was born. And you know, for her, she has just sat down and watched a load of films back to back. So I was like, you know, trying to get across that for each of those films, we had to wait X amount of time for the next one to be released and stuff. I was trying to say to her, like, you know, it's a big thing for me that we've watched them together, and trying to go into some of the reasons why that is. My My niece had two sort of favourite film franchises. They were the Marvel films. She loved the Avengers movies. And the Star Wars films. And when she passed away, I did like a Marvel movie marathon. Try saying that three times when you're drunk. And a slightly lesser exciting for me, but I also did the Star Wars movies in honor of her. And I was saying, you know, I was saying this to my eldest. I was like, you know, it was my, they were her cousin's favorite movies. And then sort of saying, you know, there are other things that I can't explain to her at this stage. Well, you know, further down the line in the future, I'll be able to explain more. Some of those Infinity Saga movies, I didn't think that I would ever see. And then did. I once watched Infinity War three times in a week. For various reasons, things like that, and I'm there, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's really really means a lot to me that we've done this together, and she couldn't have cared less, and I was like, the youth of today, ha. Last week, half term. It was a very busy time. I told my older children that they needed to pick an activity each, because we just weren't going to have the available time to do all the normal holiday things, because they had activities there that took up the majority of the time. My eldest wanted to go climbing. Middle daughter wanted to go play mini golf. And we did both of those things. Took my older two climbing. Middle daughter didn't want to go. Which, one of those. My son was poorly. So I was like, well, you can't stay at home, because I can't be the person that's going to be responsible for you getting ill when you've got these activities that you need to do. So you have to come with me. So whether you want to climb or not is one thing, but I'm going to take your climbing shoes and then we'll see when we get there. Absolutely no surprises that having been there 10 minutes. Oh, Daddy, I want to climb. Yeah, I thought you might. So we did climbing. Typically, having not wanted to climb, middle daughter was up and down the walls like nobody's business. My eldest was showing me things that she can do and that she's been working on recently. I've not had the time or opportunity to be able to go climbing with her. I have been pulled up on this fact by her. So I said I would do something about correcting that. So yeah. So we were doing this thing. Basically, she would show me what she could do and I could show what I could do on particular climbs. And I was showing her what is my current obstacle that I'm trying to overcome. And I was like, oh, you know, I've got this situation going on. But one of my biggest issues is I don't know what to do with my feet once I get past a certain point. And she was like, why aren't you using the volume? I was like, what? She was like, why aren't you using the volume? It's right there. You just put your foot on it. Like, I never even considered that to be an option. She was like, it's right there. Just put your foot on it. I was like, oh, okay. So on Saturday, me and Ed were looking at some stuff. And he was like, oh, you know, you fancy giving the overhang a try? And I was like, yeah, I need to. I'll give it a go. And then proceeded to progress further than I've ever managed to get on it. And it's like, I saw that you were using the volume to get your foot on. How was that? And I was like, yeah, my eldest suggested it, and apparently it worked real well. So, that thing of like climbing with different people of different abilities really does open up that sort of library of knowledge of how to tackle certain situations. Been having some, this falls into the category of things that I'm never sure that I'm going to talk about and then ultimately decide to talk about. Been having some issues with my older children. Been feeling recently like they don't want to come. They don't want to come and see me. They don't want to come here. For a variety of reasons, a variety of conversations. So that's been causing issues for me. It's been making me sad. I had like a whole week of just being completely miserable. And managed to sort of like resolve some of that with my eldest. However, it doesn't seem to have changed. That feeling doesn't seem to have gone away. It's the shortest version. It's a problem. It's an issue. It's something that I can't shake this feeling. It's been really difficult to deal with, to be a part of, to be around. You know, I just want them to have the best time they can. I don't want them to enjoy themselves. And ultimately, I would like them to do that here with me and with us. And I've had to sort of deal with the possibility that might not be the case, and ultimately how upsetting that is for me. And there's been a variety of things that ultimately there's a lot of me as an adult, me as a parent, I have to suck that up. And finding that I'm not necessarily able to do that. And that in itself causing a problem. So going back to what I was saying, they had these activities, and these activities were, they had this big dance show. They were both in this dance show. There was three shows over 2 days. There was a dress rehearsal, so there was essentially four shows over 3 days. And they were with me for 4 days. So, you know, you can imagine what that looked like. I'd bought a ticket to go and see the middle performance. Double-edged reasoning being one, I thought that was, you know, ultimately it's not the first one, because the first one's going to be a bit ropey in with that kind of nerves. Second one, you've kind of relaxed into it, and for the third one there is an element of that you become a little bit complacent. So I was like, well, I'll go for that one. Other thing being is I could just collect them afterwards and bring them home. So, winner, winner, chicken dinner. the biggest issue, which ultimately became a bigger issue as time went on, is the show was 2 hours. And between my two older daughters, they were going to be on stage 5 times in 2 hours. And as anybody who has children who may have experienced a dance show or two, they're not on stage for that long. Let's be real, it ranges between 3 and 5 minutes. Times that by 5. At the most, the absolute most, you're looking at 25 minutes. And as I said, 2 hour show. And I don't care. I want to be very clear at this point in time. I don't care how this comes across, because whatever way you slice it, this is the truth of the matter. I am not there to see those other children. Their parents are there to see them. I am not. I am there to see my children. Those are the ones I care about. And my daughters don't have, like, you know, it's like, oh, a really good friend. So if that friend's in a different show that your child's not in, and they're like close family friends sort of thing, you're like, oh, it's so-and-so. Nope, there's not that. There is one other child that connects two of my children together. So every now and then I'd be like, oh, there's that child that two of my daughters know. That was it. Always, in these situations, the number one priority of whichever venue you are at is to turn the temperature to just past boiling. Like if you had, like, you know, a pan of water out in the middle of the room, it would boil. That's the temperature to set for a room that's got probably 200 people in. Because people don't generate heat. Lighting for shows, they don't generate heat. 200 kids dancing around for 2 hours doesn't generate heat. So make sure to get that temperature turned way the fuck up. I made a small error. And the small error was, at one point in time, one of my children said to me, have you seen my costume for my dance show? And I said, no, I'm trying to keep it as a surprise. That ran this very risk. I think second or third dance, I was like, oh my word, look at these grown-up children, these older children, look at them. They're out there, there's just a few of them, so it means that they're good. They're grown up, they're older children, you know. My youngest daughter, she could one day be doing that dance. My middle daughter, if she continues down the path that she is on with her dancing, she could too be doing this dance. And my eldest, well, if she carries on the way she's going, she could be in this dance. In fact, that child right there looks exactly like my eldest daughter. So that's quite poignant. I'm sitting here thinking that my eldest daughter could be in that there dance. And that child right there, who is staring right at me right now, oh shit. In the entire process, I was like, oh my God, these children are doing this amazing dance. The costumes are amazing. One day, one of my children could be doing that dance. And that day could very well be today, because that is my my daughter. That's, you know, a double-edged thing. One thing, wow, look at her go. She was in this amazing costume. She was doing this amazing dance. I'm biased, but she was really good. Like, really good. I was watching her and doing all of her dances, and she's genuinely good. Ultimately, we all know the child that goes to dancing that probably shouldn't. We all know that child. We've all seen that child. The child that just goes, but they're not interested, is ultimately the child I'm talking about. So I feel it's okay to say, I've been to dance shows for all of my girls, and they're all very good. I don't feel like they are the child that doesn't want to be there. And I feel they put the effort into being good at it. So there we go. But yeah, that was a proper shock. I was like, wow, look at her go. She was back out shortly later. My middle daughter came and did hers, and then a little bit later she came and did her other one, and then my eldest was on again. There was an intermission. Now, the intermission is, again, I feel like I'm using this phrase too much, but it is a double-edged sword. One, it's an opportunity to stand up, stretch the old legs, try and in some way cool down. Let's face it, wake up a little bit. All of those are positive things. Fortunately, it does mean that you are not even halfway through, because the intermission is 15-20 minutes. That's 15-20 minutes that they could be doing the dance in, that you could be, you know, closer to the end. I heard a child, because I got the opportunity to speak to both of my older daughters, because they came out, and I'm like, are you done? Can we go? No, we're not done. We're just not in the next bit. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're in the finale. I was like, so can we leave and come back for the finale then? No, don't be silly. Yep, being real silly. So what then? I heard a child say to their grandparent, we're halfway through, Grandma. I'm like, yeah, we're halfway through. She's like, just another hour to go. I'm like, that child is clearly mistaken, because it's a 2-hour show and we've already had an hour and we've got a 15-20 minute intermission. So presumably the next part is 40 minutes and we will be out of here. Yeah, that child was absolutely correct. There was another hour. And as I may have mentioned, neither of my daughters were in the second hour, apart from the finale. And as I'm sure you can work out, the finale is the bit at the end. Just why? Why? Honestly, anybody could have worked on the principle that they could have split it into two shows. They could have easily split it. Why have the best part of a 2.5-hour show? I guarantee you there was not a single person there on the day I went that will have been saying, oh, that was fantastic, I enjoyed every minute of the 2.5 hours. Because ultimately you're there for your child or your grandchild or your sibling. You're not there for the others. Can't stress this enough. super fun thing that I've just got a major bee in my bonnet about recently is the nursery where my son goes. And my youngest daughter used to go to. Sent a thing recently. They're like, "Oh, it's that time of year again." They did that whole, "Oh, let's be funny and jolly and probably don't want to hear this, but oh, it's that time of year again where we put the fees up." And I went, "Yeah, you're not kidding. So let's not make light of the situation, because let's all be clear here. We know exactly what you're doing, because ultimately, in X number of months' time, it's going to switch to free childcare. So it's going to be, you know, partially subsidised, because it's not free childcare, it's just X amount of time, and we still pay for X number of other things through the nursery. So it's not free childcare, but ultimately all they're doing is jacking the price up, because they know that the government are going to fit the majority of the bill. And when I say majority, I mean not the majority. So they jack the price up. Now, I don't want to get into any numbers here, but it's astronomical. It is so astronomical that I then went away and did the maths and worked out that I don't earn enough money a day to pay the daily fee. And it's not even remotely close. I would have to take on a second job to pay the daily fee. So that's what we're looking at there. My son went to nursery last week. He came home and just over a day later started wildly vomiting everywhere. Running a monstrous temperature. And was very, very unwell. And if I'm honest, is still, a week later, unwell. Obviously, when it comes to his next time that he's supposed to be at the nursery, we've got to let him know that he's not going to be there because he's poorly. Give him a little ring. He's not coming in because he's poorly. Oh, do you know what? Loads of children are poorly. Must be something going around. Yeah, I wonder where he caught that from. I go into nursery this morning. Now, I hate Monday mornings. And this, ladies and gents, is the reason why. Because I don't want to go to nursery. I don't like going to nursery. I don't like leaving my son at nursery. It's one of those things that I know I have to do, but every single part of me does not want to do. So I'm in this weird limbo of having to do it and not wanting to. So I go, I'm like, oh, what was wrong with him? Is he feeling better? I was like, yeah, absolutely feeling better. What was wrong with him? He had a temperature and he was vomiting a lot. Yeah. We were supposed to have 10 children on Friday and 5 of them didn't turn up. I was like, oh, 50% of the children that were supposed to be here on Friday didn't turn up because of a bug that they presumably all got from being here. And ultimately, you all got paid for not looking after those children. Have you seen those videos recently? The when is a scam so normalised that it's no longer a scam? Yeah, nurseries. Final thing for the week is I weighed myself this morning for the first time in 2 weeks. Post Super Bowl, I was like, I ate my first takeaway in a year. I can't face stepping on the scales. So, first time I'm weighing myself in 2 weeks, and I'm not sure if this ties into the what I was saying about the exhaustion when it comes to running or not, but yeah, I've put on half a stone in the last month, I will say that, but yeah, I have this thing when I get a Super Bowl, I let the dog off the chain, and it turns out that dog likes to eat. So yeah, gonna have to put the old dog back on the chain now and sort that shit out. So there you go. There's an hour of the week. It's really good that I haven't been watching, playing, and doing other stuff. So let's rattle through it. Watched episode 3 and 4 of series 1 of The Bear. After watching the 3rd episode, I was saying to Leanne, I was like, what? Does it feel like we're still waiting for this to start? And she was like, no, I think this is it. She's like, I think this is just, you know, she's like, I'm enjoying it, it's good. I don't mind watching more. But I think this is it. And I was like, I just feel like I'm waiting for... Like, it seems like they're doing the whole... Oh, there's a mystery here. There's a mystery involved. And at some point, we're going to let you know what that mystery is. But so far, they haven't. And she was like, no, I think it's just... This is it. So she was like, are we watching another one? I'm like, well, yeah, the episodes, they're like half-hour episodes. It's a perfect length for you to be able to say, I'll just watch one quickly, and we've got some time, can knock a couple out, which is what we did. So we watched the 4th episode, and I was howling with laughter after the episode, because towards the back end, I went, can I just ask? And Lam was like, oh, actually, I've got a question. And I was like, all right, okay. And then something was happening on the episode. It was getting to the back end. So I was like, right, what's your question? Because it might be similar to my question. And her question was, what kind of restaurant is this restaurant? And I went, oh, my God, that is my exact question. And then we had this conversation where we were both like, I thought it was like a sandwich place. I thought it did like sandwiches. But they're having this conversation about making mashed potato, and they've got like chicken on the thing. And one guy, this busy restaurant that apparently doesn't make any money, which, you know, go figure on that one. There are... non-stop, super busy. They haven't got time to scratch anything or do anything else. But for an entire episode, one of the guys who works in the kitchen was just drawing donuts, making cake. He did say in the episode, "Is like, oh, I'll do it all in my spare time." Which I'm like, what spare time? The whole point is that none of them have got any time. They're all shouting and screaming at each other because, you know, this thing's not ready and all of that. And he's just like, you know, decorating a cake. Like, what is happening here? It's, yeah, I agree with what Leanne said. I don't dislike it. I'm not annoyed. I'm not upset by the fact that I don't really know if it's got going yet, because I'm enjoying watching it and it's good. But yeah, it's a bit strange. Obviously, like I was saying, yeah, I am in the process of watching a film, and it is a new film, but I just didn't get a chance to finish it. So I can't talk about it because I didn't finish it. And the film that I was going to talk about is a film I've talked about at length, being Avengers Endgame, which I have just talked so negatively about. But I was saying something, I was like, I don't know if it's like the scenario of watching with my eldest. I don't know if it's having watched the Infinity Saga back to back over a series of months. I don't know what the feeling is. But I actually quite enjoyed it, watching it this time. And I could kind of overlook some of the glaring issues in the film and just almost like sit back and just enjoy it, which I'm not sure I've been able to do previously. So, yeah, you know, that's something. Computer game wise, at this point in time, I don't remember the last time I turned the PlayStation 5 on. I can say this much, the PlayStation 5 turned itself on the other day when I was trying to change the input on the TV, and I got angry. Like, why are you turning yourself on? You're not needed. I finished Into the Radius. I was very sad that I'd finished it. It was a very sad experience for me. Because that game is nothing short of absolutely phenomenal. It is definitely going on the favorite game list. Definitely in the top 10. Could be in the top 5. It is just an absolute banger of a game. I saw something recently. People were talking about Into the Radius 2. And I was like, ooh. And then yesterday, I was doing a bit of a... a bit geeky kind of... I was doing a bit of a deep dive into the Radius. There's this thing about playing the 1.0 version through Steam. So I ended up on Steam trying to find more information. And then on the Steam page, it was just Into the Radius 2, coming soon. And although everything that I read about it said, oh yeah, it's coming out next year, the release date that they have on Steam for it is this year. I was like, well, that sounds super cool. The last level, the last mission was very, very difficult. Super cool. A lot of fun, but very hard. Involved a lot of loading and reloading, dying. Found out at the back end of the game that there's an artifact in the game that if you hold it, it heals you. And I was trying to look it up and stuff. What I will say, there's jumping ahead a little. I did restart Into the Radius last night. I'll get to that in a bit. But what I will say is, you start with that artifact. And I'm like, how have I missed this? And I'm sure in my first playthrough, I tried to sell it and couldn't. And I've got so far, and then it's just disappeared. And I'm like, oh, you only have it for so long at the start of the game. So I need to track down that. But yeah, found out at the back end of the game that all this time there was an artifact that if you hold it, it heals you. I was like, that would have been useful. Just an absolute banger of a game. It did that thing where it gave you a choice to make at the end. Do you want to do this or that? And the implications. I imagine there's a third choice, but I didn't necessarily want to entertain the idea of the third choice. So I picked what I believed was going to be the way the game wanted you to go, really. I saved the little girl. And that was that. That was the end. And I was like, man, what a ride. What an absolute banger. That then meant I needed something to play. And I'd already stacked a few games up. So the first one of which is the game Ghost of Tabor, or Tabor, as some people call it. Wow. Heard this game described as if Into the Radius and a game called Tarkov, I think it's called, had a baby. This would be it. It is a PvP PvE game, which that in itself immediately put me off and intrigued me. So, that, you know, take that for what you will. I don't want to play against other people, but I do want to play against computer enemies, and I do like running around collecting stuff. So I was like, maybe I can do this. I've written down here something that just baffles me beyond belief. There's no crouch in this game. That's not true. You can make the game crouch, but it's a very long story. But ultimately, if you want to pick something up off the floor, you have to bend down in real life and pick it up off the floor. It's quite difficult in VR. Now then, imagine your standard game. Imagine how much stuff goes on the floor. I spend the majority of the time picking stuff up off the floor in real life. I'm like, this was not the gaming experience I thought I was getting myself into. Thursday evening, I'm playing Ghost of Tabor. I'm walking through a corridor. I walk into a room and somebody shoots at me, and it's a person. And then they immediately start talking to me. Oh, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm really sorry. Don't shoot me. I want to team up. I'm new to the game. I don't have any good loot. This went on for a while. They were telling me to plug my microphone in, which when you're playing on the Quest, it's not that. I've disabled the microphone. And all of this went on for a couple of minutes. They came around the corner. I had this big machine gun pointed at them. The whole time, all I can hear is every video I've watched recently saying, do not trust anybody in this game. If you see someone, shoot them immediately. So I'm holding this machine gun, looking at this person. They are talking a mile a minute. And in the end, they were like, look, here's what I'm going to do. And they took their gun out of their holster and they threw it into a different room to the room we were stood in. And I was like, that kind of builds a little bit of trust, I suppose. So I was like, I've got an idea so that we can, you know, bridge this gap. I released the machine gun with my left hand. So I'm still holding the handle and trigger. And they were like, oh, you know, plug your microphone in so we can talk, we can team up. And then all of a sudden, a gun appeared out of nowhere and they started shooting me while stood right next to me. And I went, well, that's a really stupid idea, isn't it? And I just held the trigger down on the machine gun and blasted them into oblivion. Unfortunately, the game was telling me I was hurt, injured, something. I didn't know what at the time. And about 30, 40 seconds later, I died. Now, when you die in this game, you lose all of your stuff. So I lost all my guns, armor, backpack, anything that was in my backpack, anything I'd picked up while I'd been playing that particular point in time, everything. One of those items was the Pit Viper from John Wick. So I was proper annoyed. I'm like, man, that's rubbish. Last night, I'm playing, and I've gone into the game, and I've collected a couple of machine guns, a couple of bits and pieces from a backpack, an item that I had no idea what it was, put it in my backpack, and I'm trying to extract out of the game, and it won't let me. Basically, it was saying, dude, you walked around the corner, you picked up a machine gun, and now you're trying to leave that's not how the game's played. Go and do something. So I was like, right, fine, whatever. I'll go and find a different extraction point. So off I go on my merry way. And I go into a room and there is a person. Now, as I was explaining to somebody today, you know it's a person because they move differently to the computer players. They look all disjointed because of the way people move in VR. So I'm like, oh no, it's a person. And then the person starts talking. And I went, you have got to be kidding me. It's the same kid from the other night saying exactly the same things. He's like, oh, no, don't shoot me. Oh, why are you being this way? Plug your microphone in so we can talk. I've got no loot. I've got nothing good. Oh, come on, man, please don't be this way. Why are you being this way? I was like, this is just absolute perfection. So I got a little bit closer, you know, make it look like I'm trying to attempt to, you know, have some kind of, you know, situation with this kid. I got closer and I took an entire clip on a machine gun I was holding and emptied it into the player. And then I felt truly satisfied by my gaming experience. Also, managed to get the most loot, kill the most computer players, and extract moments later with loads of stuff. The miscellaneous item that I didn't know what it was turned out to be a silencer for the gun I was holding. I was like, huh, cool. So I popped that on, and now the gun I've got has a silencer. I will immediately lose it the next time I play. One of the issues I have with the game as a whole is it's the single most stressful gaming experience I've ever had. I have to basically take a break after every match because I feel like I'm having a heart attack. So I'm not sure that was what the game had in mind, but a little while ago I bought a game called Demigod. The idea being is that it's supposed to make you feel like a superhero. You can use all these different superpowers, run around like a superhero, and if you want, you can tell the game that you want to fight bad guys, and that's that. And I put it on. I showed Leanne a trailer for it. She was like, "That looks rubbish." I was like, "Yeah, but superpowers." I read a load of reviews, and the reviews were like, "Hey, you get to be a superhero. It's fun. Like, cool." Turns out in this scenario, Leanne was absolutely right. It looks not good. It doesn't play amazing. And it's very lacking. I thought it was going to be like, go and do this mission. Go and destroy these enemies. Go and do whatever using your superpowers. And instead, it's just arenas of varying different types, like a cityscape or one of the ones I went to was like a Asian temple kind of area. And then you just say to the game, I want 5 enemies. I want those enemies to be ninjas. And then you fight them. And those enemies have got massive health bars and take forever to get rid of. You know, while you're blasting them with a giant machine gun or lightning. It's just very odd. I was like, this game is not good. So I went to the city. And I was like, let's try the flying out. How does the flying work? Turned out, after much trial and error, you basically do a jump and then you press the jump button again, which allows you the opportunity to then fly around. And I flew around the city and I went, not the game I thought it was going to be. Not as good as I thought it was going to be. However, flying around a city in VR, yeah, it's fun. You can use web shooters like Spider-Man. That's also kind of fun, but quite hard to actually control. Until I realised that you can just fire them into the sky and then pull up that way. As I mentioned, I have taken the time to restart Into the Radius. On one hand, it's nice starting it and just knowing what you're doing, where you're going, what your objectives are, in the sense of, I want to get enough money to buy this, I want to get enough money to buy that, I want this weapon early doors, I want this, you know, I want a headlamp early doors, I want to try and find the artifact that I was talking about, all of that. And then realizing that all of those things are locked behind a variety of different security levels, which take X amount of gameplay to unlock, which ultimately means that you ain't getting in it anytime soon. And I went, ah, balls, of course. So, you know, like I've said all the way through this, big old double-edged sword on that one. Great to be able to play again. Gonna take a fair old while to unlock all the things that I actually want. That is the end of what turned out to be a very long podcast. I'll catch you next time. So there we go, watching into that. Bumper edition of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it wasn't too long. Don't know what to tell you. Sometimes the mouth just runs away with itself. Thank you for watching, thank you for listening, thank you for being here. Before you go, click that like button, share the podcast around people, that's the big one. What was that, like, share, subscribe to the podcast, then you know when new episodes are available. Leave a review where you can leave a review. I think more often than not it's like Apple and Spotify, I think. You can leave one on the Audible app if you like, because pretty sure we're on there as well. Check out the website, cookiecast.com. There we've got social media links and an email button, and that way you can get in touch with us. That is it for this one. Till next time, I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Cookiecast.